A while back, on April 9th of this year, so on a Sunday morning, there was a word that the Lord gave us. And I really believe that it's imperative that we listen to that. And as it is being played, it will be recorded on, you know, the sermon tape. I want you to listen very closely to what is said and how it is said. And then after it's over, there are some things that I'm going to bring to light to you that are directly related to the fulfillment of what you're about to hear. So go ahead and begin to play that.
Oh, there is an excitement around my throne. There is an excitement here in heaven. There is an excitement, and it is spreading throughout all of heaven. It's because I know the time is short. It's because I know that the days are numbered. And the excitement that is welling up on the inside of me, it is being transferred throughout all the regions of heaven. And all of those who are up here, including even the angels, they know that something is about to break loose. They can feel it because it's radiating out of me. And they are seeing the excitement that is in me. And I would have you know that there is a level of glory that is building up and building up and building up in the realm of the Spirit. And it is preparing even now to break loose into your realm. There is a glory that is building up. It's as though it is behind a door and it is increasing and increasing. And it is coming very close to that explosive flood stage where it is going to sweep throughout this world in revival. And I want you to know this. I want you to know ahead of time that not only is the glory being prepared, but right now there are armies of angels that are being prepared to be released with this glory. And they are going to work in conjunction with this glory to help you to bring about the fullness of the revival. They are right now being prepared to do warfare in the realm of the Spirit to create atmospheres for this glory to penetrate through decades of darkness throughout this world. And my light is going to be exposed to many people that you have thought may never see this glory and may never hear the gospel. But I want you to know that through your intercession, through your prayers, through your worship, through your meditation, through everything that you have done, that you are breaking through into the realm of the Spirit in a way that the enemy did not anticipate. He is being caught off guard in many areas because of what you are doing. You see, the very depth of the sin to which he has sunk has created a blindness in him. He cannot see into the depths of my heart or my mind, and he does not know what is coming. But I am telling you this night, I am speaking to you as my children to let you know that there is something getting ready to break loose in the realm of the Spirit that is going to impact the realm of the natural like never before. It has never been seen on this planet what is about to take place. And so I would encourage you this day, you keep pressing into me. Keep pressing into me because the dam is about to break and my glory is about to be released as the Spirit of the Lord. Along with this, I would say to you, guard your heart and mind. For you see, after my glory is released, Satan, your enemy, is going to try to replicate it with a counterfeit glory. He is going to try to replicate it for the purpose of distracting people away from the genuine. It is going to happen within churches. It is going to happen within man's religion. And I say to you this day, oh, please listen to me. Guard your heart. Strengthen your mind with truth. Guard your heart. And strengthen your mind with my presence. Do not let yourself be pulled away by emotions that would take you to places where my truth will not be delivered. Do not let yourself be pulled away by feelings, by self-perception, by lies of the enemy. You must be rooted and grounded on the foundation of my truth. And if you will make this commitment, If you will fight that good fight of faith, it will see you through to the end. It will strengthen you, and it will be a source of strength continually for you. There are those who have made wrong decisions, and they have gone to places which cannot feed them the way that I desire to feed them, because man has put limitations in these places. And I would say to my entire body, please, I implore you, please, please establish yourself in places where my truth is being released, where my truth is being delivered. Establish yourself in those places, no matter what man may say to you, no matter what you feel pulling you in other directions. Establish yourself in places where my truth is being released, because that truth is being poured forth directly from my spirit. And it is building a thicker and thicker foundation which will not crumble, which will not fall, and which will sustain you for the rest of your life. So know ahead of time that when glory is released, Satan will try to bring about a counterfeit. The counterfeit will look very good, but it will not be rooted in my truth. Stay in the places of my truth and be established in me and be protected, says the Lord.
I apologize, Sharon. I gave you the wrong instructions. That's my fault. Now, let me just share a few things with you about how that this is being fulfilled even now. About 1 minute, a little over 1 minute into that, the Lord shared with us that there were armies of angels being prepared to be released, and that these angels were going to help in the area of spiritual warfare to accomplish what it is that God wants done. And then about 3 minutes into it, there was the warning or the admonition that we need to guard our hearts and our minds to become very rooted and established in truth, because Satan was going to try and replicate what God is doing. Now, let me just share some things with you about this. First off, concerning that thing about the armies of angels being prepared to do the warfare, somebody might ask, well, you know, is that really true? I mean, does that kind of a thing really happen? Can it happen? I mean, is there anything in Scripture that we can see that might lead us to believe that this is true? Absolutely there is, and I want to show you. Look in 2 Kings chapter 6. And some of these passages, we won't be reading the entire passage. You can go back and do that later. We're just going to read some verses relative. In 2 Kings chapter 6, in verse 8, it says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp." So we read that verse to establish the fact that there was a war going on. Now look in verse 15. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" In other words, we're surrounded. There's no way out. "And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Now someone might say, well, yeah, but that doesn't say anything about angels. Look over in Psalm 68. And you'll see the connection. In Psalm 68, verse 17, "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place." So you can see there's a connection between what he saw over there in 2 Kings and this whole thing of the chariots and the angels and so forth. In essence, Elisha knew, whether he actually saw it himself or not, I don't know, and that's not what we want to focus on. But he knew they were there, and so he prayed, and he said, you know, Lord, yeah, the enemy is surrounding us. However, what I'd like for you to do is open my servant's eyes so that he can see what's going on in the realm of the Spirit. The Lord did that, and the servant was able to see in the realm of the Spirit that there was a mighty host of angels prepared for battle. And if you read the rest of that story over there in 2 Kings, you're going to see how that battle turned out for the good for the Lord, really. Now, what I want to do, since we're over here in Psalm, I want to show you some things relative to angels. Look in Psalm 91. In Psalm 91, look at verse 11. I think you'll recognize this. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, if you remember, this is one that Satan twisted to use with Jesus while he was tempting Jesus. But again, we see angels being involved in a type of protection. Just if you want to use a variation on the theme, they're prepared to do battle to help keep you in all your ways. They're prepared to do battle to keep charge over you. Now, look over in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus had been in the wilderness, and he had fought Satan as far as those temptations were concerned. And it says, well, at the end of the temptations, look in verse 11. It says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, there's one other place in Scripture where angels showed up and ministered to Jesus. And that's over right before Jesus was arrested and crucified. He was in the garden, he was praying, and it talks about his sweat becoming as drops of blood and so forth. And it said that an angel came and ministered unto him. Now look over in Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew 18, take a look at verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, children. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So here we see angels. People have referred to them as guardian angels. Well, whatever term you prefer, I guess that's okay. But here we see angels being involved in the lives of people. And specifically in this verse relative to children. Now look over in Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, Judas has showed up with others to lead in the arrest of Jesus. And in verse 51, I mean, they're right in the process of arresting Jesus. And in verse 51, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? It's a lot of angels. You know, we're talking somewhere between 40 and 60,000. It's a lot of angels. And so we see here that Jesus knew, he knew that all he had to do was say the word, and that angels would be there to do warfare, literally, to do warfare, to fight. Now let's look at another place. Look over in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, look at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So here we see not just an angel, but we see a multitude of angels showing up. And now notice closely what they're doing. They're praising and they're worshiping God. Now this is important. Keep this in mind. Jump over to Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. So here we see angels involved in this passage in transporting a person's spirit after they've died. Now we're not going to get into, well, do they still do that today? This is only one verse that we want to look at as an example of angels doing something, interacting with people in a manner of speaking. Look over in Luke 24. Now what's happened is Jesus has been crucified. And beginning in verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. You say, well, who were those two men? Jump over to verse 23. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Now again, you can go back and read the entire account of this later on. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now this one's really interesting, and I am not teaching on it today. Verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So in other words, what we're seeing again is a type of interaction between angels and man. However, this is something future tense. Look over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard and treated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, and the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And we'll stop right there. And it goes on, the rest of this is talking about the difference between, you know, the Jews, where we are today, and so forth. But here we see another account of angels being involved somehow with us, with people. Look over, you're in Hebrews, look in chapter 13. It says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So what we're seeing is an implication that it's possible for us to have an interaction with angels and not even know it. Okay, now let's look at something else. Turn back over to Matthew, and this time Matthew chapter 25. Now there are many, many other verses that speak about angels, especially when you get into the book of Revelation, and you read about angels worshiping around the throne, angels of, you know, hovering around the throne of God, singing, holy, 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 and we see a lot of action of angels in heaven, and not only in heaven, but we also see in the book of Revelation a lot of action of angels here on earth. Now in Matthew chapter 25, look in verse 41. Jesus is speaking, and he's talking about at the end, judgment. And he says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, many people have spoken of the devil's angels as being demons. And I understand that. That's okay. They've referred to Satan's angels as being devils. And I understand that. And that's okay. But what I want to point out is that Jesus is acknowledging here that Satan has angels of his own. Well, the book of Revelation talks about, you know, one third of the angels and, you know, falling and so on and so forth. So we see here a reference to this. Now look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Back up to 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, one more passage. Colossians chapter 2. Look in verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now this verse 18 is going to be very important. You'll see this here in just a few moments. In the prophecy that we listened to, it spoke of the fact that there were angels being prepared even now to do warfare on behalf of us and with us, spiritual warfare, to help accomplish what God has spoken that would happen concerning revival, so on and so forth. Now, we've seen in Scripture just a few passages that speak of angels, and some of those passages, we see them being directly involved in what we could maybe loosely refer to as warfare. We see them being involved in very unique ways. But if you remember in the prophecy that we listened to at the beginning of the service, there was a warning that Satan was going to try and duplicate what God was doing. And that the purpose of him trying to duplicate this was to try and deceive people into going in the wrong direction. And if you remember, part of this was spoken that things were going to happen in churches. Now, you may not be aware. Now, remember, keep in mind this was, you know, 3 months ago that this prophecy came forth. Well, it is being fulfilled even right now. And if you look here in this 18th verse, let no man beguile you of your reward. Okay, now let's stop here. We're not going to read all of Colossians, simply to say that Colossians is an admonition by Paul to stay on track with right doctrine and not get led astray. Where he's talking about let no man beguile you, what he's speaking about is not somebody in the world. He is talking about people in the body of Christ, those that we would call apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those who have a platform and those who have the opportunity to speak into our lives. And he's saying, let no man beguile you. Well, how would somebody beguile me? By teaching something that sounds so good that I would be tempted to embrace it, that I would be tempted to grab a hold of it and follow along with it. Now, look here in what he says relative to this beguiling. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. In other words, the information that he's going to give us, whoever this person, this guy, beguiling person would be, the information that he's going to give us is information that did not come from God, but he has come to the place, as it says here, to where he is vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now this sounds like a great indictment that this person may be walking around, you know, coming across as being very arrogant. That is not the full perception of what God's trying to give us, or full revelation of what God's trying to give us in this. What he's talking about is that this person who is doing the beguiling has become so convinced in his mind that what he is sharing is right, that from God's perspective, he is vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, not his spiritual mind, because he's not walking in spiritual truth. He is walking in deception. Yet he's convinced that what he's sharing is true. Now, do you see this phrase in here where it says the worshiping of angels? Now, for a long time, that verse really kind of confused me, because in my mind, here's the image that I had of this verse, of Christians worshiping angels. Can you see that? Of Christians being deceived to think that they need to begin worshiping angels. Well, that phrase, worshiping of angels, in the Greek, it doesn't really mean that. I mean, it leans slightly in that direction. But here's what this phrase is in reference to, the worshiping of angels. It's not speaking so much about us worshiping angels, but it's speaking about, it's making reference to a very strong doctrine that was being taught back in these days. And this doctrine said that you as a Christian could grow spiritually to the place that you could begin having spiritual interaction with a very elite group of angels as they worshiped God, and then you would be able to enter into that worship with them. So to paraphrase this statement, worshiping of angels, it's not speaking so much Christians worshiping angels, but to paraphrase it, it would be joining in with this so-called elite group of special angels and worshiping God with them. You say, well, what's that got to do with us? Okay, now remember what happened when the angels show up, or when the angels showed up to the shepherds and said, I bring you good news. And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts worshiping God, glory to God in the highest, and so forth. Okay, there we have an example, one example of the right kind of worshiping taking place by angels. You jump over to Revelation, we're not going to take the time, there's so many references over there, and you see more than one example of angels in heaven worshiping God. And that the angels are worshiping, and we see of the elders worshiping, and then we see the people that are in heaven worshiping God. So we're seeing this great big worship service in heaven taking place. However, this phrase here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, where it's talking about this worshiping of angels, or the worshiping of angels, or joining in with that elite corps, here's what's going on right now. There are people, some of you may have heard some of this, maybe you've received emails from certain ministers, I'm not going to name names here in this service, but I could give you some names, and I'm sure many of you would recognize that there are ministers right now who are teaching that they are having increasing encounters with angels, and that angels are appearing unto them, and that angels are leading them into areas of worship, that angels are now showing up in churches and joining the worship services with the people, that angels are bringing forth a type of worship, and that Christians are joining with them to worship. Now, I am going to drop one name because it's okay. Dave Roberson began to have an experience like this about a year and a half ago, maybe two, I don't remember the exact date, how that he was in a time of worship, and as he was worshiping the Lord, he began to hear what he perceived as being angels worshiping. And he actually stopped worshiping and listened, and this just carried on and carried, and it sounded so good. And he walked through the house. He thought maybe a CD had been left on somewhere. So he's walking through the house trying to find it, and he couldn't find it. Everywhere he went in the house, it was still there. And he actually walked outside of the house, and he could still hear it. And this happened not continually, but on more than one occasion this took place. Well, not too long ago, within the last 2 or 3 months, he was worshiping the Lord, had been in that time of worship for quite some time, and he began to hear that sound again. Only this time, something in him just didn't set right. And so, as he's worshiping, the Bible talks about testing the spirits. We won't get into that today. The Bible talks about testing the spirits. And so he stated, or he said, you know, I sure would like to hear, and he named an old, what, Shall We Gather by the River? How many of you remember that old hymn? Okay. He made the statement, you know, I sure would like to hear that old hymn, Shall We Gather? And he said, immediately it changed, and that song is what he began to hear. And he said, that caught my attention very quickly. Now think about it. Why on earth would angels want to sing, Shall We Gather by the River? And the purpose is what? When the only time in Scripture, now listen closely to this, the only time in Scripture that we see them doing anything as far as singing is when they are truly worshiping the Lord. And then he said, man, that really was a strong check. And he said, you know what? I think I'd like to hear Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. And he says, just a moment later, all of a sudden, he started hearing Ring of Fire. And he said, right then he knew. Now, what had happened this year and a half or so ago, Satan had begun trying to set him up to fall into this verse right here, 2 Corinthians 2:18. And he said the things that caught him in it to keep him from going beyond just this attempt at deception was the fact that he has never given up praying in the Spirit, and that praying in tongues continually helped him to become sensitive to the Lord, and that's how he caught this thing. And he had shared this incident several times, and he actually stood up in the church and explained how that Satan had been trying to dupe him now these last 18 months, but he caught on to it, and he explained to the folks what was going on. Now, these other ministers that are out there that are sharing about this, this is increasing. These angelic visitations are increasing. And typically they are always bright, full of light, looking very glorious. Exactly what it talks about, Satan transforming himself into an angel of light. That these angels are engaging people in praise and worship. But again, it goes right along to this whole thing of they're trying to set people up to be led astray. One minister has been so caught up in this that he actually sent a letter to all the people, the thousands of people on his mailing list, and I mean the thousands of people, telling them that they need to begin expecting visitations by these angels. There are several preachers that are being caught up in this. Now, why I'm saying that is this. Think back to what we heard on that prophecy here at the beginning. It's being fulfilled right now. Satan is working very hard to bring about this duplicate encounter with angels to deceive people. Because you see, if an angel shows up in the full revelation of who he really is, you're not going to buy into it. But if an angel shows up and is clothed with a disguise to appear glorious, to appear as an angel that's come from God, there's a good chance you'll buy into it. This is why the Bible tells us to test the spirits. There's one prominent minister who has spoken of having many visitations by a particular angel, a very beautiful angel. And that this angel has actually interacted with this minister's children and actually played with their dog in the house. There are increasing revelations about female angels showing up. If a female angel ever shows up, it's not of God. Because nowhere in Scripture is an angel revealed as being female in character in any way, shape, or form. The angels are always presented as being masculine. And yet female angels are now starting to show up on a more regular basis in people's lives. Some of these ministers that I've shared with you, these things are happening. Now here's what I'm getting at. The Bible talks about in the last days that there are going to be false signs and wonders. Now here's what is going to come to pass. You're going to, well, if you are in contact with people that are starting to be sucked into this thing. Well, yeah, that's good. That's very good. Turn over to Timothy. First Timothy chapter 4. Fits right in. Hadn't even thought of this. Chapter 4, verse 1, 1 Timothy. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart or turn away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is happening in a very powerful way right now. And what's going to take place, as far as these false signs and wonders, it's going to come to the place to where some of these Christians that are sucked into this thing, ministers, whoever, they're actually going to start teaching about commanding these angels to go and do things for them. Now you see in Scripture where Jesus said, don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels? And then over in Hebrews it talks about the angels being ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those that are the heirs. Well, there's a fine line between the wrong angels and the right angels and them doing things. The angels of God are only going to do things that line up with His Word. But what you're going to begin to see are people talking about these false angels, not realizing they're false angels, and telling them to go do things, and these angels are going to go do it. And they're going to be bringing things to people. They're going to be causing things to happen. And these preachers are going to be teaching this to the body of Christ. They're going to be training them how to start having interaction with these angels and to use them to their benefit. And all it is a seducing work of the enemy to get Christians to start interacting with demons. And it's not going to become clear to Christians, the ones that get pulled into this, it's not going to become clear to them, to all of them, at first. Some of them will catch on before they go too far. Some of them are going to get pulled in so far into this that you can probably expect to hear testimonies of encounters with other gods that we have been told really weren't gods, but in reality had been manifestations of God to other cultures to try and draw them to the real God. For example, Buddha, Allah. Now I'm not saying that's what it will be, I'm just telling you, those are just examples, but this is what's going to happen. In other words, the attempt is going to be, ultimately, the goal is to start drawing people away from the fullness of who Jesus Christ really is and to elevate other entities to be on an equal level with Jesus. The ultimate end result of this is the full departure from the faith, and these people will spend eternity in hell, even though at one time they fit that description that Jesus gave. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied, cast out devils, and done many wonderful works in Your name? And He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Now I'm telling you this because some of the ministers that are starting to get pulled into this are people you've seen on television. If you've watched Christian television, one network in particular, much at all over the last 5 to 10 years, you've seen at least one of these people on there, I'm sure. And this is where the platform, this is where they have gained their platform, to where they've been given a voice in the body of Christ. And if you remember in the prophecy, one of the things that we were admonished to do was to become very strong in truth, to guard our hearts and minds with truth, and to be rooted and grounded and established in a place that only delivers truth. Well, now more than ever, I want to reemphasize that, how important it is. Because this thing that is happening right now is so absolutely incredibly subtle. It is so... I can't begin to describe really in the right kind of words how easy this is happening. Well, Jesus said that even if it's possible, even the very elect are going to be deceived. And it's taking place right now. And so you're having voices that are rising up more and more in the body of Christ, and they're telling us about these things. And it's going to increase. You're going to hear more about it. And some of you, depending upon whose emails you receive, you either have, I mean, if you receive anything from some of these preachers, you either have or you're going to sooner or later begin receiving some of their email updates, how God is moving in the angelic way and angels are increased. Now, here's the thing. We do see Scripture talking about angelic encounters. But the kind of things that are being spoken of are not recorded in Scripture. We have, as far as an earthly event of angels praising and worshiping, the only one I've been able to find so far is when Jesus was born. Beyond that, I haven't been able to find any other occurrence of angels manifesting to people worshiping and praising the Lord. I see it in the book of Revelation, but that's up in heaven. I see other encounters of things happening. Remember where it talks about how that the angel Michael disputed with the devil over the body of Moses, and Michael said, "The Lord rebuke you." There you have spiritual warfare taking place. And the reason I'm sharing this with you today is because the way this thing is accelerating, it started off very, very slowly. Very slowly. But it's increasing. And the voices of the people teaching this are increasing. And I really believe it's just a matter of time before some of you, if you haven't already, you're going to hear some of these preachers saying some of these things. And I'm telling you right now, it is going to sound so good, there's going to be a temptation to want to dig into it more, to want to experience it firsthand, maybe even to ask for it. Because some of the teaching that's going to go forth, I believe they're going to start instructing people to ask for the angels to come and visit, to ask for the angels to come and reveal themselves. We do not have an instruction in Scripture relative to this. We are told to keep our eyes firmly on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Yes, I know that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of those who are heirs of salvation. But we are not taught to seek encounters with angels. And yes, I know we talk about praying and angels go forth, create atmospheres conducive for God's will to be accomplished. And we understand that. And we see things happening in Scripture that are somewhat similar to that, not that exact wording. But never are we taught to seek encounters with angels. It's nowhere in Scripture. And I just want to pass this on to you. I had planned on ministering on something totally different, but the Lord really laid this heavily on my heart this morning. And I wanted to share this with you to help guard you, to help prepare you, to let you know what is happening now, and that the prophecy we heard back in April, the opposite side of that, Satan is working hard now to duplicate what it is that God wants to do. Are there going to be real events? Are angels? Are there going to be real things with angels that are truly of God? Yes, things are going to happen relative to that. That will happen. But again, our responsibility is to stay in the presence of the Lord, and to grow spiritually, conforming to the image of Christ, and to follow Him in the path that He has set before us, and to not get pulled away by these seducing spirits and these doctrines of devils, because, guys, it's happening now. It's happening in the body of Christ. I won't be surprised if before the year is out, we start hearing more reports of angel events taking place throughout the world, and Christians are going to buy into it. And don't be surprised if you don't hear of Christians traveling to other countries to encounter these angels that are showing up. And don't be surprised if you don't hear of crusades that are taking place with some of these ministers, where angels start showing up en masse in some of these crusades. It is an attempt of Satan to pull people away. There is the genuine and there is the false. And when you are walking in spiritual sensitivity, you're going to be able to discern the difference. So I needed to pass that along to you guys and let you know, praise the Lord, we're living in the fulfillment of another prophecy. Hallelujah. So guard your heart. Stay in the Word. Stay in the presence of the Lord. And you won't be led away. Hallelujah. Okay, everybody stand.